Well, thanks for throwing Thy Word in there. I love that song. Those who don't know, it was Amy Grant's music that kind of was the final nail that kind of got me thinking about getting baptized. Or maybe it was the two cute high school girls that sang at camp singing Amy Grant songs. I'm not sure. But I love that Thy Word. Thank you, guys. Well, good morning. Man, we are so glad that you are here in person or watching online with us today. And guess what, guys? Guess what? He's still alive. He is alive. Praise the Lord. It's still true this week. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, died on a cross for all of our sins, has conquered death, rose from the grave, and now extends to all an offer of hope, life eternal with Him and our Heavenly Father. Isn't that great news? And around MCC, yeah, thank you, John. And around MCC, Easter keeps happening. Today, just like yesterday, like last week, and like every day of our lives, we're going to celebrate His death and resurrection. So I'm going to start today by reading this week's scriptures. So go ahead and open your Bibles or get your phone's Bible app ready. Or if you're so inclined, get ready to watch the big Bible screens in the sky above me as we turn to John chapter 21, verses 15 through 19. John 21, 15 through 19. Now, where this takes place, it's after Jesus' resurrection, and some of the disciples, they've been out fishing. In fact, they've been out fishing all night. And a man is on the shore, and he yells out to him and asks them if they've caught any fish. Well, with the reply, no. Any fisherman ever had one of those days where just nothing was getting on the line? Well, they were having one of those days. And so he says, well, throw your nets out on the right-hand side of the boat. They do as he suggests, and they catch so many fish that the nets are so full, they can't even pull the nets back into the boat. John realizes it's Jesus. John realizes it's Jesus and says to Peter, it's the Lord. Well, the next part reminds me of Forrest Gump. Who's seen Forrest Gump? The movie Forrest Gump. Yeah. Well, he's out on one of his boats with Lieutenant Dan, and they're eating lunch, and headquarters radios out and tells them, Forrest's mom is sick. Well, Forrest doesn't even wait to get the engine start. He looks around, looks which way the shore is, dives right off the boat. Doesn't even use the boat to get back to shore. Mama's sick, I'm gone. Well, that's what our friend Peter does here. The others are bringing in the catch, and he just says, that's Jesus, I'm gone. And he jumps over the side of the boat to get to Jesus quicker. Well, they finally all arrive, and Jesus has breakfast already cooking. Wouldn't that be cool? Wake up Sunday morning, there's Jesus cooking breakfast at your house. Yeah, you better call me if he's there. I want to come for breakfast. But he's just there cooking breakfast, and they enjoy fellowship and breakfast together. And then the scriptures say in verse 15, after breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied, you know I love you. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. A third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Well, Peter was hurt that Jesus asked this question a third time. And he said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you, Jesus said. Then feed my sheep. And then he goes on. He says, I tell you the truth. When you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself, and you went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go. Jesus said this to let them know by what kind of death Peter, he would glorify God. Then Jesus told him, follow me. Follow me. Well, this is the final installment of our epic Easter sermon series. This is it. This is the last of it. And first off, I have to apologize to Laura and the worship team because I told them it was going to be on epic directions. And Jesus redirected me, and we're going to have a different sermon today. But it is epic. And that's also why Kat put the compass on the front, but it doesn't fit. So I apologize to Kat as well. But if you have noticed during this sermon series, each Sunday we've concluded with a takeaway that built on the previous week's takeaway. And it's been a call to personal growth in your own walk with Jesus. Well, today will be no exception as we look at the scriptures and hear from God on the topic of epic decisions. Epic decision. From the beginning of creation, people have had to make life decisions. And we haven't always made life wise ones. We all remember Adam and Eve's decision to go against the will of God, don't we? How'd that work out for them? Since that time, throughout all of Earth's history, people have at times chosen foolishly. We've made life decisions that will lead us away from God. Choices that are outside of God's will for each of us. Choices that go against Jesus' teaching and his example. Have any of you made any life decisions today? Maybe not. You know, there's an old hymn that's a life decision song, and it's often an invitation song here at MCC and at many, many other churches across the country. And it goes like this. Sing it with me if you know it. I have decided to follow Jesus. Decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. If you sang that song in just a minute, I got you. You just made a life decision. Have any of you ever thought about how profound a statement it is when someone comes to you and says, I have decided. Mom and Dad, I have decided not to listen to you. That was a decision the kids soon regretted. But anyway, I still remember 5 years ago. I was sitting down eating pizza with Tiana in Waco, Texas. And she'd just done her visit at Baylor University. And we're sitting there talking, and I could see it in her eyes. But she says, Dad, I've decided to go to Baylor. Whew. That was a big decision. Not just because of the cost, but because of how far she was about to leave, her mother and I. And that one decision affected many other decisions for her in her life and for our family ever since that one moment, that one life decision. You see, whenever we make a final decision and decide to do or not do something, it is in light of all other things that vie for our attention. It affects everything else. You see, making decisions, it's central in our lives. It's absolutely central to our lives. When you make one decision, it ends the potential of other decisions, at least in that particular area that you're deciding on. But whenever we say yes to something, we are also saying no to other possible decisions. Saying yes to God is saying no to all other ideas, philosophies, and actions that go against the teachings of Christ. So today, we're looking at the epic decision. We are looking at saying yes to Jesus. Saying yes to believing in him, yes to him as our Savior, yes to accepting him as Lord of our lives. This is the single biggest decision of your life. It is truly the epic decision. Now, once we make the decision to say yes to Jesus, I'm sorry, but the work's not done. I'd like to say it is. I'd like to say the hard part is over, but it's not. A person's Christian life does not end with the epic decision. Quite the contrary, our Christian life now is just beginning. It means that we have begun to have to make daily decisions, daily choices on whether or not we will say yes each and every day for the rest of our lives here on this earth. A disciple of Jesus has a daily decision to make. As a disciple, we can choose to serve our old master in our lives, sin, and reap the wages that sin will eventually give us. Or we can choose to serve Jesus as our master and live a life of holiness and Christ-like character But by the way, we also will be hated and despised by some in this world. But we have to decide to say yes to Him every day that we face those realities. When we make the epic decision, we are saying yes to the following three statements. And these three statements that are the three statements that Jesus questioned or talked to Peter on in the scripture we just read. And we need to make the decision each and every day to say yes to Jesus and say yes to these three statements. The first one, yes, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Do you love me? I'm not asking you to say, do you love me? I'm just saying, do you love me? And I suppose that's a question that we've asked or at least thought about at times in our lives. Well, in today's scripture, Jesus asked Peter, and the Lord is asking us today, do you love me? What's your answer? I know it's not always an easy answer. Life's hard, throws curveballs, things go on, gets us questioning. And oftentimes, it's easier to admit and understand that Jesus loves us than it is for us to really look at the question, do we love Him? Or to what degree we love Him? C.S. Lewis once said, Christ's love for us is a much safer subject to think about than our love for Him. I mean, we've been given every reason to love Jesus, haven't we? 1 John 4:19 tells us, we love Him because He first loved us. And looking back over our lives, we can see that God has been good to us. He has blessed us in priceless ways. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about the blessings such as ruggedly handsome good looks or, there's some laugh, that hurt. Or a nice home or a wonderful spouse or good kids or a good job. Although you may have been blessed with some or all of those, but there are those who have never been blessed in those ways. And it can interfere with their ability or willingness to see that Jesus loves them. In fact, worldly blessings, although they may make life a little easier to bear while we're here, they're just far too small of blessings to be the main reason to think that Jesus loves you or that we should love Jesus. You see, I'm talking about the priceless blessings of your sins being paid for, being part of a loving family of God, having a restored relationship with God, and living every single day knowing there is a hope, the hope of eternal life. Those are priceless blessings, and all are blessed those ways. We're all blessed if we've chosen to accept them, regardless of who you are, regardless of what you've done, what you've said, or what you've thought about Jesus, up till this very moment. Jesus, who I am so honored and happy to call my Savior, has also died for you. He loves you, and He wants to put it all behind you and begin anew today. Today. That's how I know Jesus loves me and you. But Jesus, in our story today, in our scriptures today, wanted to hear Peter express his love for the Lord. And guess what? He wants to hear us too. Paul Powell, a Baptist preacher, explained, since Jesus really does know all things, then why did he basically ask the same question three times? Of course, there's the connection of Peter denying the Lord three times. But on top of that, Jesus wanted to hear Peter express his love, and Peter needed to say it. Peter needed to say it. Not because Jesus didn't know what was on his heart, but because Peter needed to remind himself, needed to hear it out of his own mouth. Well, here, let me attempt to show you what I mean. No matter how many times in the past that I have told my lovely wife, Polly, that I love her, it does not suffice for today. She wants to hear it again and again, and I need to say it. My wife and I will have been married 26 years this July. And let's suppose that I have told her twice a week since we are married that I love her. Now, I promise you, I've done it more than that. She's not here today. She had to go down south. But you text her. You Facebook message. You ask her. It's more than that, I promise. But let's just say it's twice a week. So that would be over 100 times a year for what's going to be 26 years. That's more than 2,600 times. Surely that should be enough for anyone. But I can assure you, it isn't. She will want to hear it again and again. Listen, we never get tired of hearing people sincerely say, I love you. And saying it yesterday, it's not sufficient for today. Love craves and thrives on expression. And we need to daily say, Jesus, I love you. The question for Jesus, or from Jesus, is not for Peter anymore, but it's for us today. Do you really love the Lord? Do you love the Lord more than these? What could be the these in your life? What could be hindering you or I from being the best for the Lord? For some, it might be money. For some, it might be popularity. For others, it might be getting to the top without thinking about who gets hurt. For some, it may just be family, friends, or the job. So the question is, do you love the Lord more than these? I want to send out a warning today. Be careful of the these. They could cripple your life. Be careful of the these. They could jeopardize your walk with the Lord. Be careful of the these that you think nobody knows about. Those are the these that really get you. And remember the question, do you love me more than these? Finally, on the statement of Jesus, I love you, I want to say that our decision to say yes each day, and we have to say yes each day to remember our epic decision, it has to start with love. We've got to start our day with love. That is the only power that can motivate us and keep us on track for Jesus. I think we understand that even on a human level, that people who love, well, they greatly sacrifice, right? People who love greatly give up things. Love is powerful. It's a powerful emotion. It can be powerful motivation. Even earthly love is so powerful, it can draw the best out of people, and it can also draw out the worst. It is love that makes people sacrifice everything to live with one person the rest of their life or do anything they can for their children. But it is also love that is so powerful it can destroy a family. It can destroy a marriage. It does all the time. It can destroy a life. It can lead to alcoholism, drugs, suicide, murder. Earthly love is powerful. But God's love, the love Jesus showed every moment of his life here on earth, is a life-changing love. It's a love that has no end. It is given freely to everyone. It's a love you can count on, a love you can trust, and a love worth having and sharing each and every day. Peter told the Lord that he loved him, and so should we. Well, the second statement that we should be making every day and saying yes to every day is, yes, Jesus, I will serve you. After World War II, a group of German students volunteered to help rebuild an English cathedral that has been severely damaged by German bombs, so it was really bad shape. As work progressed, they became concerned about a large, big statue of Jesus that was there, whose arms were outstretched and beneath which was the inscription, Come unto me. They had particularly difficult time trying to restore the hands. They just couldn't get them to be restored and couldn't get them connected back to the arms. So after much discussion, they decided to let the hands remain missing, and they changed the inscription to, Christ has no hands but ours. Christ has no hands but ours. You see, in this conversation that in the scripture, Jesus gives Peter an assignment after each and every time he asks, do you love me? He gets Peter's answer, and then he says, feed my lambs, take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. It's like Jesus is saying, Peter, I hear you saying you love me. Now, go and serve me. Be my hands, my feet. And guess what? That's what he's saying to you and I today. He's saying, Jeff, Jim, Mike, Pam, Barbie, put your name in there. Any of you, put your name in there. He's saying, you, I need you to serve me, to serve my people. There's a quote from St. Teresa of Avila, and she says, Christ has no body now but ours. No hands, no feet on earth, but ours, but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks compassion on the world. Yours are the feet which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands through which he blesses all the world. You are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes, you are his body. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. We serve Jesus by serving people. This story cracked me up when I came across it. There was a wealthy American traveler who visited a hospital in Southeast Asia. And he walked in just as a young missionary nurse was cleaning the sores of a sick, dirty, elderly man who had been found lying, passed out in a gutter. The rich man said to the nurse, I wouldn't do that for $1 million. She answered quietly and firmly, neither would I. Money couldn't buy her extravagant devotion to Jesus. Her life was broken and spilled out for the love of Christ. As I said earlier, it all starts, including our service, by saying, yes, Jesus, I love you. Yes, Jesus, I'll serve you. Are we serving Christ as a loyal, dedicated, totally committed child of God, or do we serve him only if it's convenient for us to do so? Let us look at our hearts. There may be something to grieve about, or something to fix, or something to get beyond inside us. And as Christians, we need to be prepared to ask Jesus every day. It's these two simple questions. What can I do for you today? Or how can I serve you today? And here's the key. You've got to listen for his reply. You've got to listen for the Spirit to move and send you a direction. The third statement that we need to say yes to every day. Yes, Jesus, I will follow you. Now, Jesus has just told Peter in verses 18 and 19 that he was going to die, like Jesus, via a crucifixion. And John leaves us no doubt about this, and no doubt about Jesus' intention when he says, Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. It's clear. But then, after Jesus tells Peter how he's going to die, he goes on to say to Peter, now follow me. Follow me. Peter, it's not going to be easy to do what I ask, to serve me daily. And you will one day face death as a believer. So this is what I'm offering. Follow me. What would you have said? Well, we know what Peter does. He follows Jesus. And he does amazing things for Christ in the years to come. But understand this and go check it out in scriptures if you like. His life is in no way easy from this day on. It's not an easy road for Peter. And likewise, we are called, no matter what season we're in, to follow Jesus. If you're a banker, follow him. If you're a construction worker, follow him. If you're a teacher, follow him. Whatever you do, follow him. If you're Caucasian, African American, Indonesian, or whatever ethnicity, follow him. Your past may be scarred, but your present and future can be healed. Follow Jesus. Now, it's easy to become discouraged. And by the way, Satan is aware of that fact. It's easy for us to lose heart. It's easy to begin to question God's existence in those times when God feels distant, isn't it? It's easy to slip into a routine of unpreparedness. It's easy to slip into a lifestyle of just foolishly living, thinking, well, there's always tomorrow to do the work of the Lord, or there's always next Sunday to get back to church. Folks, life isn't about who has the best hand. It's about being obedient to God with the hand he's given us. We know that the scriptures tell us that we are to daily take up our cross and follow the Lord. Go to Luke 9, 23 through 26, if you'd like to see that. And so often Christians start out forsaking all to follow him. They start out gung-ho, ready to go. I remember as a youth when I did, I was ready to take on the world. We have the best intentions. But then life gives us blow after blow after blow, and we forget what taking up our cross daily truly means. A loved one dies unexpectedly. We get sick. There's a pandemic. We lose a job, our house, or a close friend. We get called out for our faith. We get mad over human decisions that were made in different churches. Or we feel like there is no hope. But there is a way to overcome. There is a true hope to hold on to. And we must daily say, "Yes, Jesus, I will follow you." So what does following Jesus look like? Well, if you go through the scriptures, you will see many common themes. And I'm going to just get three little common themes for you. So you see the theme of Jesus being an example or following in his steps or imitate him. And in this theme, we are told time and time again that a follower of Jesus will live as Christ did. To truly follow Christ is to follow his example and imitate his life to the best of our ability. The second theme is to keep his commandments or be holy. A follower of Jesus will pursue a holy and righteous life. Now, we won't get it right 100% of the time because we are human. But our aim is to live a life that honors him. And the third common theme you will find is seek first. Everything in our lives comes after him. Our focus should be set on God. When you commit your life to Jesus, you commit to putting him first above all else. That's how we follow him. That's how we get it done. So who are you following? Christ or someone or something or anything else? To be honest, I'm going to be honest, it's always struck me as odd that each day we'd have to choose to make a decision to follow God. I said, "I believed you, Lord. I said, I'd take you as my Savior. I got baptized." But then the more I think about it, it's the truth. It's more the truth I see in it. Because each day I personally am faced with decisions that I must make based on my commitment to live a life God desires for me. And each of you will as well. To profess God with my mouth and then betray him with my actions is not deciding to faithfully serve and follow God. Okay, now I asked you earlier if you'd made any life decisions. And maybe you didn't make any life decisions today. Or did you? Did you wake up this morning and decide to follow Jesus today? Or have all other choices that you've made outweighed your decision to follow him? I'm going to ask you to start each day by saying, "Yes, Jesus, I will follow you and only you." Now, I want to talk to those of you who haven't decided to say yes to Jesus. Or if there's some of you who did say yes, but you're struggling to say yes to Jesus daily. That's who I'm talking to right now. Please know, life will hit you hard at different times. And in your mind, you may want a God you can control, especially at that particular moment. God, fix this. Get it done. But that's not loving, serving, and following Jesus. There's so much more to a relationship with Christ than what's happening in or around your life. Al Kaline was a brilliant outfielder for the Detroit Tigers in the 60s and 70s, and he's now a member of the Baseball Hall of Fame. At the time of his enshrinement in the Hall of Fame, he was honored at a dinner that was attended by 2,500 people. After he was introduced with his long litany of baseball achievements, he came to the podium to a standing ovation. During the course of his remarks, he said, "There must be something more to life than this. Chasing a lot of fly balls, getting a lot of base hits, and making more money than you can spend." Al's heart was asking him, "Is there more to this life?" Is your heart asking, "Is there something more to my life?" Or more specifically, "Is there something more to my life relationship with Jesus than this?" Maybe you have substituted involvement with a project or something or work or a charity or a friendship rather than a person called Christ. Have you worked up this neat belief system that you can turn to rather than entering into a relationship with the Savior? Are you avoiding saying yes to Jesus daily? You know, it's been said you're only one decision from a totally different life. Then let me invite you to make the decision to say yes, to get to know the something more, Jesus. And I promise you, you won't regret it. Now, brothers and sisters, as Christians, we need to say yes each day and allow Christ to reign in our lives. We must follow Christ's example daily. Then we should be taking the story of Jesus' death and resurrection, which of course is the gospel, and sharing it with everyone, showing them the love and hope of Christ like we talked about last week. There can be no exceptions and no excuses because we know there is something more. Which brings us to today's takeaway and our final takeaway for this epic series. Let nothing in or around you keep you from reaching others and teaching them the gospel. Nothing. Let nothing stop us today and every day from making the decision to say yes to Jesus. Let us pray.